If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
Finishing up strong here in the fourth quarter. Need to know, brought to you by our friends at Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, Corona Hard Seltzer. You need to know the Corona Hard Seltzer, zero carbs, zero sugars. If you're watching your calories, but you still want an adult beverage, get that Corona Hard Seltzer. Great flavors available. Get it wherever you buy your Coronas. Start things off with a little Andy Reid here in the 5 o'clock hour. The Chiefs have not come together. The football team has. A lot of people were optimistic that after a very good statistical defensive showing, a lot of people pointing out that the quarterbacks they went up against last year weren't the best, but that maybe that chemistry would build. It hasn't happened for the football team. And right now it's not clicking for the Kansas City Chiefs. I asked Reid about what challenges there are to getting the chemistry right.
Yeah, so I think it's time. You got a bunch of new guys, and only time takes care of that. And I think the guys like each other, which you remember Bill Russell was asked that question about the South. Why were you guys so successful? And he says, because we loved each other, you know. So we're close, but we just don't have a lot of time with some of the guys. But it looks like it's coming together. Feels like that to me. And then just the reps. So we keep repping it and working. I think we'll be fine.
I'm not there. I don't think it's about reps. I mean, I think you got to have a fire, and I think that's the question with this team. Is the fire still there? You also have to have some bounce in the legs. And I think once you start to accumulate enough wear and tear, you're just like, I think Anthony Hitchens has a will to deliver a blow, but I think he's been through a lot of wars, you know, and some guys handle it better than others, but, you know.
His brain sees it. But his legs, the message, and the message may still get there as fast as it did before, but you just can't put left foot in front of right foot the way you used to.
And he said that they have a bunch of new guys. While I agree that they have a bunch of new rookies, I mean, that's true of every team in every year. So I don't really think when you're proclaiming the run it back tour, you can come out there and say, well, we've got a bunch of new guys.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know what I would expect him to say. I don't think he's going to throw anyone under the bus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he has no choice but to say, yeah, we just need some time. I mean, they're going to have to play all the games. He doesn't get to say, you know what, we're going to pull the ripcord on this season. We'll see you next year. Like, not an option.
No.
Not an option. I had a lot of people starting to question the mechanics. Patrick Mahomes himself questioning his mechanics. I don't really get it because he's never been a guy. I think, you know, footwork and setting up and all that, I think, is coach speak for I don't really have an answer a lot of the times. Patrick Mahomes throws the ball from every odd foot placement and balance position and has completed them all the time, right? But Patrick Mahomes brought it up, so if he brings it up, I listen. I asked Andy Reid if there are things that can throw a quarterback off his mechanics.
Yeah, listen, you know this, and it's this way in every sport. You keep working your fundamentals and techniques. You're going to have a hiccup here and there. And then you just go right back to it, and you keep working it, and maintain your confidence, and so on. So, you know, we get rid of these turnovers, and you know, now you're right back on track. So, and I have full trust in him, and I love the way he works. He always wants something new or evaluated or that. So he's not afraid of becoming even better than he is now, and that attitude will go a long way.
Eliminate some of the turnovers. Is that because of the footwork? Is that because of the mechanics?
Don't think it's the footwork. I
think it's a guy recognizing he's got to try to make a play.
Yeah, I don't think it's the
footwork. But again, I think if you're a coach, you don't ever want to. I mean, they coach the fundamentals. You go through the fundamentals time and time again to make sure that they're habit. I don't see a lot of like, ooh, what was that?
No.
He's always made those throws off balance on the run. There's nothing but athleticism that comes with those throws.
And if there's anything with the footwork, maybe it's he doesn't have the spot to set up where he'd like because the offensive line blocks differently. He didn't have the escape routes he normally has. And I said I rarely see him just drop back and throw the ball. So There might be, but it's not because Patrick Mahomes has bad footwork.
Josh Gordon made available for the first time to the Kansas City media. Adam Teicher had the first question asked Josh Gordon why he thought this time around would be different.
Opportunities, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to have. Most importantly, this one being here, it's brand new. It's current. I'm in the present. So, you know, I'm taking it all in stride, and I'm enjoying it. And, you know, I look forward to what the future holds here in Kansas City.
Did not answer the question.
Nope.
I don't know what we'd expect.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I think Josh Gordon may have been counseled by somebody. Listen, you just got to do your best. You make statements about why it'll be different this time, and then if it's not and you fall down, they're going to throw it right back in your face. So don't give them that answer. Just work on yourself every day.
And if you do that long enough, people will stop asking that question because it won't matter.
Well, if you do it long enough, it means you haven't fallen off the wagon or you know, got into trouble. And so then the question goes away on its own.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's kind of what I meant.
I just want to point out, I don't think he really answered the question.
He did not.
But I also think there's a reason not to answer the question. Right?
Agreed.
That's my view. Todd Lebo asked Gordon, what about Kansas City made him want to come here?
Well, Kansas City for an offensive player right now, obviously, in the offensive climate that we got in the NFL, is a dream destination. You know, it was an easy decision to make. I knew nothing about the city. You know, I just knew that there was a good group of guys here. The environment, I heard nothing but great things, the camaraderie, the family-like environment. And when I got here, I knew immediately this is a place that could, look out for me, take care of me, and I could reciprocate that back and just come in and do my job, you know, and make it easy on myself.
Fair. I mean, well, that guy throwing the ball's pretty good. Guy coaching the team's pretty good.
Chance to win. If I get to pick wherever I'm going to go, nobody's going to give me a ton of money at this point.
The easy city to live in. I mean, I'm sure you won't have any problems.
I do like that he mentioned that. Yeah. Family city, he said. You know, I mean, I think it's not Vegas.
Yeah.
A lot of temptations, right? It ain't Phoenix. A lot of temptations. L.A., New York, Chicago, some of the faster cities in this country. Well, a little sleepy here.
Yes, make it easy on myself.
By the way, if that offends you, you need to go see some other towns. But okay, you can get into trouble in any city, believe me.
Right.
I mean,
ask Dale Carter.
Yeah, you've got to have a want to not. It sounds like he does. But, I mean, I do appreciate, I think that's the maturity in him mentioning that part of the equation with Kansas City.
Yeah, this absolutely is the – if you can't get it straight here, just forget it.
Yeah, it's New York. Is if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. If you want to get straight, you need to go to Kansas City.
Every possible advantage.
I mean, Jed notwithstanding.
Yes.
You know, I mean, this is the town.
This is the town.
I'm doing fine.
So you say.
All right. What are the Chiefs getting with 31-year-old Josh Gordon? I asked him, I said, listen, you talked about doing a lot of training. He's asked what he's been doing since his last suspension. He said, just working out, training.
And he looks like it.
He does. He looks like he's in great shape. I said, look, I know there's all kinds of ways to measure that now, right? Like, so how you doing? Are you as fast as you used to be? Are you clocking 40 times? Are you bench and lifting the same kind of things? The agility drills? Are you timing out? How do you measure it? I said, where are you basically now, physically, compared to whatever your best was?
That's it. I guess that's an interesting question. I mean, that's an interesting thing that I've been trying to gauge myself and fill that out for the entirety of my career. Obviously I don't feel like I'm 21 anymore, but I still definitely feel about the same range, speed, you know, jumping ability, quickness. I'm not like, 10 out here like Tyreek, anything like that. But longer ranger guy, so I know my ability and given the amount of work I put in, I think there's a level of confidence there. So I feel good where I'm at.
That's a well thought out answer.
Yeah.
I mean, something he clearly has monitored.
Well, I think we hit on an interest.
Yeah.
You know, Shannon Sharp used to say that he actually liked the working out more than he liked the football. Right? Which you look at him today, he looks like a bodybuilder. Yes. You know, I mean, he liked the lifting weights part of the equation. He liked the workout, the physicality of it.
Where Sterling did not as much.
Sterling
he did not like the gym as much.
Sterling could use a few pushaways, you know, from the table. Yeah, still.
He liked the Jimmy Dean sausage.
Yeah. Yes. Well said. Well put. You know, but he seemed like he's had an introspective about that. Like, okay, where am I? What am I doing? How do I get better? Like, you can tell he's put some time into it because that was probably the least, you know, form answer.
Yeah,
that he gave us, you know, during the course of the press conference today, don't you think?
Yeah, and he even said
which to me is a positive. It shows an interest in
absolutely,
you know, what it is he's got to do.
Yeah, and if he does that, I think he's going to be okay. It was, you know, one of the things you've mentioned what he brings that they haven't had is, as you said, a guy to he can throw a ball up and he can go get it. How perfect was the fact that the first catch he made as a Chief was a ball that Patrick Mahomes threw up and figuring he would go up and get it, and he went up and got it.
He went up and got it. Went up, jumped up in the air, and then caught it at his chest. Yeah, which I think he kind of went up to protect. He thought, I might get hit from behind here, and so it's kind of, let me get my back up and kind of shield the ball from anyone behind me, almost posting up from behind him.
He knew he wasn't going to snatch it and go, so let me just catch the ball.
Yeah, so I'm still quite intrigued and quite optimistic that there are some big plays coming from Josh Gordon.
And a lot more plays run, as Andy Reid said on Monday. I think he may have reiterated it on Wednesday.
Did.
But had about 20 plays in mind, but they had to go hurry up in the third quarter. I don't think they'll have to go hurry up on Sunday. If they do, something has gone drastically wrong.
Yeah, I would agree with that. This is a game that they're supposed to win and win big. All right, some NFL news. We mentioned, you know, trades. We were talking about, you know, trade deadline. Could we see something with the Chiefs? Well, the Eagles aren't waiting around. They've traded 3-time Pro Bowl tight end Zach Ertz to the Cardinals. They'll get back cornerback Tay Gowan and a 22 fifth-round pick. So that deal went down. Wouldn't have mind seeing Zach Ertz come here.
I'd have been okay with that.
If you want to play multiple tight ends, get multiple tight ends that are kind of like really good. Running back Christian McCaffrey is out for his third straight game and 16th game under Matt Rhule. There have been 22 games played under Matt Rhule. He's missed 16 of them.
Not good.
No.
It's not part of the solution in Carolina.
Yeah, exactly. Cleveland Browns Pro Bowl running back Nick Chubb has been ruled out of Sunday's game against the Arizona Cardinals with a calf injury. So get your fantasy lineups figured appropriately. Congrats to all of you that drafted Kareem Hunt probably earlier than you should have, just thinking, well, at some point Nick Chubb goes down. I got one of the best running backs in football. Yeah, you do, because those of us that have Nick Chubb were certainly pissed when you took Kareem Hunt.
You know, it's been said before, but how different the fortunes of this franchise in Kansas City would be if that hadn't happened with him.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have had to use a first. I mean, you'd have one of the more dynamic, productive red zone guys, and so many problems would have been solved.
No doubt. We've got the best coming next. Kevin Harlan will be with us here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I could listen to him for hours.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB from the miracle of technology. Finishing strong here on a Friday as Kevin Harlan is across the pond. He joins us here in the program right now. Kevin, how are you, sir?
Greetings from London. We're doing great. It's late at night here. Well, not late. It's 6 hours different than Kansas City, but
we appreciate you staying up, Kevin.
I know. There's a big, big NFL to-do going on, and I said, got to go talk to Soren. It's 5 o'clock on a Friday for us. You know, you guys have fun. Drink the Tanqueray or whatever you're drinking here, your Pimm's and soda. I'm going to go back and work and represent the NFL with a class individual. So here I am talking to you, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Being the voice of America does come with it its responsibilities, Kevin. We appreciate that you are always ready to man up and take those responsibilities on full go. And this game is at the same place last week's game was. I know we were chatting earlier, and it's where the Tottenham Hotspurs play. And I watched, this will stun you, Kevin, but I watched a show on, I don't know, one of the many networks that you almost never watch, but you pay too much for. And it was like an engineering show, right? I kind of like the architecture and the engineering.
Right. How and things are made or how things are. I think I've watched that show too, not on this, but I've seen it before.
Yeah, and they did one on building that stadium.
I didn't know that.
It is one of the more technologically advanced stadiums of the world. I don't know if you've even had a chance to get down to it yet. Probably not since you just got there.
Yeah.
But they too have like the fields that go in and out, but they have like a turf field and a grass field. Like they play,
oh, no kidding.
They play the football, the soccer on the grass pitch. And then they have an AstroTurf field that they brought in specifically for having NFL games there, that the, you know, the wear and tear on the field is much worse for the, you know, NFL American football. And they don't want that chewed up for when they turn around as Tottenham is one of the most, lucrative clubs in the EPL, which makes it one of the most valuable sports franchises in the world. They messing around. It's valuable enough that, okay, we got one pitch for you Americans to run into each other on. And that's the state of the art field turf. And then we have grass for the soccer. And I saw a thing like they're literally just sitting on top of each other with like 2 or 3 feet, you know, in between them. They roll out and they showed an engineer laying down and having to crawl on his belly basically in between them and everything. I think one of the more amazing stadiums in the world that you're going to get to call the game from.
I'm anxious to see it. You know, they're supposed to christen it last year, but because of COVID, there were no international games for the NFL a season ago. And so this is the second, like you said, Jets and Atlanta played last week. And this is part of the NFL's desire to expand their brand overseas. There's certainly revenue streams that the NFL is experiencing, new ones. They just did the deal with Fox and NBC and ABC, CBS, and ESPN to televise for the next, 7-8 years. But they've also opened up some things for Apple Plus and Hulu and Peacock and for Google and Amazon, and they're going to jump in. Amazon is taking the Thursday games. The betting world has opened up a whole new source of revenue, but overseas expansion for the NFL in terms of playing games over here and claiming geography is still a very big part of it. The NBA has done a great job at it, but the NFL has a pretty significant footprint. And so this is very important to the league, and very important to the owners who are funding and making this thing go. But the stadium is going to be – we've always been in Wembley. That's where we've always done our games, historic Wembley Stadium, which had been redone, I think, about 10 years ago. And that was so cavernous but really made for soccer. And this, as you were alluding to, is a football/soccer stadium in configuration. And we're anxious to get over there. I have not been there yet, but I'm anxious to get over there in a couple of days.
And listen, if you're going to, you know, and finally, it's nice to know the NFL is going to find a way to make a buck. And so thrilled to hear that, you know, these struggling owners will, you know, perhaps.
Isn't it amazing though? I mean, seriously, I mean, like, do you remember like 5-6 years ago, if you said anything on our broadcast, we couldn't talk about gambling, over-unders, favorite, you know, underdog, any of that stuff. And the big placards, remember seeing those outside? And I think they're still there outside the locker room of these teams. And you can't associate with gamblers. You can't gamble on games. And yet they are the league, the teams are firmly in bed with casinos and gambling sites. And it's just interesting how all of this has just spun in a completely different direction now.
Kevin, 10 years ago, the NFL was sending, like, for lack of a better term, spies or agents into Las Vegas, Nevada, going around checking that the casinos were not showing the games on any TV over a certain size.
Wow.
Right? That was supposed to be
something.
You know, they didn't want Vegas becoming the Super Bowl destination spot. And now they've got a franchise in Vegas, and I'm sure the Super Bowl is going to be played in Vegas.
I'm sure it will be too. Believe me, that is on the horizon for sure. You're right.
Well, and I do think, you know, it's now maybe finally the owners can come out of the showroom of the Hupmobiles where they hold their annual meetings. you know, sitting on the running boards of these cars. You know, you think back to where George Halas and the group met back in the day.
Yes.
One of them had a car dealership. I think it was the Hupmobile.
Hupmobile, you're right. In Canton, Ohio. Exactly. Yeah. You're on top of your your history. And there are these other and remember now, the cities in the NFL were in Decatur, Illinois, Duluth, Minnesota, you know, like the small Fort Wayne, I think, like these small Green Bay is the only remaining original site.
All site these other and team name, because right
and team name the, because was, they're called for the Chicago Bears, for instance, were called the Decatur
Staleys,
which was after I think a flower company, right? And then they moved to Chicago maybe the year later, and Halas made the move happen. New York got involved, but yeah, they all had different names. Packers are the only one that have, that was from the Acme Meatpacking Company in Green Bay.
Yeah, it is amazing to see where just sports in general, but the NFL, you know, came from is just, and now playing games, like you said, over there in London is just amazing. And the good news is, Kevin, that, you know, we're sending the best of the best. Falcons, Jets.
Yes.
You get Jags, right. Dolphins. I mean, like, we're putting the foot forward, right, on this one. They got to be going nuts to see this hotly contested matchup between the Jags and Dolphins.
I don't know. They needed one team to kind of step up. And, what, 7, 8, 9 years ago, that was Shad Khan, who owns the Jacksonville Jaguars, who is big in business all over Europe, in particular in the U.K., and he said, I'll take my franchise over there. It's a small market, Jacksonville, struggling franchise in terms of selling out a big stadium. They went from 80,000 at the then Gator Bowl down to 60, whatever they are, 1,000 now. So they lessened the capacity, and they said, we'll go over there for a game or two, and you can count on us every year. And he thought, not only will I alleviate the pressure on my local fan base not to have to buy 8-game tickets or trying, you know, the pressure of selling out that stadium with a team that is not all that competitive yet. And also, I'll expand my Jaguar brand overseas so that if the NFL does catch on, and it has, maybe Jacksonville becomes the quote-unquote, you know, London's team. And that is kind of what he was hoping for. Whether they have or not, I really couldn't say. But certainly, they're the recognized team when they come here because the other ones all rotate, and some teams haven't even been here. Dallas, I don't think, has been here. I don't think Green Bay has been here. Now, those are big draws, but Jacksonville comes every year.
I was told, who was telling me, I think Bob Glauber was saying, I think he said maybe only the Packers hadn't been over there, but I didn't think that was right. I thought a lot of the big money teams still hadn't gone over there, but maybe I'm wrong. I said, well, what about the Giants? And he said, yeah, I was over here. I covered.
Yeah, Giants have been here. Yeah, I've done a job. I did the Giants and Rams here a couple of years ago at Wembley. So, yeah, the Giants and the Rams, they had gone to Los Angeles by that time. It was Los Angeles market and the New York market. Yeah, I think Green Bay, I know, has not been here.
Yeah,
because there's such a big draw on the road that if Green Bay, like they've tried to, they've thought, what about if we get Jacksonville and Green Bay to play in London? But Jacksonville says, wait a minute, that's the one game we know we can sell out because Green Bay travels so well. Same with the Cowboys. I don't know that the Cowboys, they may have been over here, but the Cowboys are such, they travel so well. They can go in any stadium in the league and sell out at the drop of a hat. So I don't know that they have been over here, but I know for a fact Green Bay has not.
By the way, just because I'm a nerd, the original NFL, the Akron Pros, Canton Bulldogs, Cleveland Tigers, Columbus Panhandlers, and Dayton Triangles from Ohio. There was then the Chicago Tigers, Decatur Staleys, which would be the Bears, Racine Cardinals. The Cardinals originally took on the street that they were on in Chicago, Racine Cardinals, and the Rock Island Independents, the Hammond Pros and Muncie Flyers from Indiana, and the Buffalo All-Americans and Rochester Jeffersons from New York, not to mention the Detroit Heralds.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Did you say Duluth Eskimos? Did you mention the Duluth Eskimos?
They must not have been one of their, at least of the article.
They must, yeah, maybe they weren't. No, there is a great book. It's called, and I've read it, I think, 2 or 3 times because it gives a great early history of pro football. It's by Michael McCambridge, and it's called America's Game.
Yes.
Now, if you love pro football and like history, this book was made for you. and it's really worth the time to read. It's a big book, and there's a lot in there, but it takes you from those early meetings in Canton, where literally, as Seren has said, they were sitting on the running board of Oldsmobile, Hubmobile, right?
Yeah.
Cars, the running board, and it's sitting there, and that was their office. That was where the league was hatched, and it was all in these mill towns that could get these kids who maybe had gone to school, maybe had not gone back home to work in the mill, in the coal mines, and said, would you like to play football on Sundays? And that's how they kind of began, because college football at the time was the sport in terms of football. Baseball was number one, but college football was really so much more popular than pro football. And then, of course, we know what happened over the next 30, 40 years, where even pro football overtook Major League Baseball. And it began with the 1958 championship game with Johnny Unitas and the Baltimore Colts in Yankee Stadium, I believe, or was it the Polo Grounds? I think it was Yankee Stadium against the New York Giants.
Yeah. And it is. I've read that book, by the way, and I agree with
you. Isn't that a great book? Oh, it's a great book.
It is absolutely fantastic. We're talking to Kevin Harlan, the great one here in the program. Kevin, the Raiders having a bit of a rough week, to say the least. John Gruden out as the coach. You know, we've talked about all the things that went into it, I think everybody has here for quite some time. But so I don't know that we need to go through, you know, what happened last weekend. I would just ask you, where do the Raiders go from here, right? Like, do they – a lot of people are speculating that their next head coach has to be an African-American coach. I don't think that's the case. I think it might be, because I think there are a lot of really good African-American head coaching candidates, one of which being Eric Bieniemy in Kansas City. And I think he is actually the betting favorite to get that job, for whatever that's worth, having the best odds by odds makers. But I'm curious, what happens with Mike Mayock? Does you know, he was kind of considered John Gruden's handpicked guy. Is he just kind of sitting until the next coach is in, or does Mark Davis, you know, look to just turn the franchise over to a more of an executive and not have the coach be the main guy? How do you think this plays out for the Raiders?
Mayock was, you're right, handpicked by John. He wanted a general manager. John had 51% of the say in roster cuts and acquisitions and kids they'd sent off the street and draft choices. Mayock had 49% authority. And they met when John was out of football, working at ESPN. They crossed at the combine and the draft and the different programming. Mike worked for NFL Network. And so they became familiar through those channels. The respect between the two gentlemen grew, and that's why they both went there. Now, the way I understand it, Mayock has 51% say, and the special teams coach, who is also the associate head coach under Gruden, who's now the interim head coach, he has 49% say. That's to get through this season. Remember, if I'm not mistaken, the Raider organization was the first pro football team to hire an African-American coach in Art Shell. They were the first pro football team to hire a Tom Flores.
Was, yeah, Latino coach, won a Super Bowl.
Latino coach, yes, a quarterback for Kansas City at one time. Tom Flores was, and of course, known as a Raider. So this has been Amy Trask was their CEO. They have been very forward thinking over the years and very progressive. I don't think there's any pressure on them to hire any coach of any color or whatever. I think they're going to go for the best, you know, possible person. Las Vegas is a very popular destination for free agents and players. So that is kind of a built-in advantage. They got a brand new stadium and an incredibly beautiful new football complex. It's a plum job and a great city. And I don't think they'll have any trouble getting the person they want to. Oakland may have been different. Bad stadium. It's Oakland, not San Francisco. And, you know, there's always the threat of moving, and always the unknown was looming over whoever they'd get as a coach. But now they're settled with state-of-the-art facilities in a world-class city, and that's going to be an easy job to attract a big-name coach, college, pro, assistant, existing head coach. It won't matter. But this is a very difficult hand they've been dealt. And, you know, Gruden was the coach that the owner loved and trusted because his dad had hired him at one time. And so it has gone terribly, terribly wrong with what has been exposed in the last week. And now they are just trying to, I think, gather in, bring guys out of the, you know, off the lifeboat, into the boat, and get them back on board. Everybody on the same page. Their hopes are still high, but clearly it is a very difficult situation that everybody in that organization finds themselves in now.
Speaking of difficult situations, I got to ask you about the Kansas City Chiefs sitting at 2-3, however, playing certainly what appears to be the four toughest opponents in the AFC already in getting to this point. And four of, I would say, the seven or eight best teams in the NFL they've already played.
Yes.
They've still got some pretty difficult ones. Cowboys at home, Packers at home, and they've got to go to the Chargers. Those are their three toughest games. Those are the three games that are left that I would say are against some of the best of the best. But that means that the other nine games are against the middle of the pack to the lower end of the spectrum, and most of them middle of the pack, to be frank with you. It's, you know, the Bengals are not a pushover anymore. The Broncos don't appear to be a pushover. If you were Brett Veach, you know, and Andy Reid and Clark Hunt, where would your level of concern be right now with 2-3?
Well, I think we talked last week that I thought that game against Buffalo could be the launching pad they need for the rest of the season. A month had gone by. They were 2-2 and get kind of shaking the post-Super Bowl cobwebs away, and then they'd be off and running. And as we saw, that was not the case against perhaps the best team. The roster of the Bills, I think it's shared by many people in the NFL, and I did the Monday night game in Baltimore, and I saw a couple of scouts that I know in the press box. And I asked them, if you compare the Bills roster to the Chiefs roster, which team has the better roster? And both totally agreed it was Buffalo. So even though you've been to two Super Bowls, I think the feel is, and I've read the same thing too, that the Chiefs have got work to do on the roster, and you can only do so much in the season. The other thing I hear about them is their defense is slow. The explosive plays for the offense have been limited, and the explosive plays against the defense are growing. And so those are just some of the main concerns and headlines. If you get into the X's and O's about this team, what the perception is right now. I never thought I'd hear the day that there would be guys questioned if they had to begin a franchise right now. What quarterback would you choose? And the different answers I've heard from well-known people have been somewhat surprising. Herbert, Allen, and Mahomes is either second or third. And that to me is just unbelievable, because I think there was a time not too long ago when we all thought that this was a generational talent. I think he still is. That he is a once-in-a-lifetime type guy, he still may be. But he is clearly struggling with maybe his own game and what's around him. So they've got work to do. And they're in a tough, difficult, competitive, deep division. It's not going to be a pushover. And that's project number one right now, just trying to figure out how are we going to survive in a division where the top team is already 4-1 and we're 2-3. That's a lot of ground to make up. The Chargers don't look like they're slowing down. I don't think Denver will. We don't know what's going to happen to the Raiders because of what's happened over the last 7 days. So there's a lot of different things going on here. And just when you think you've got things pegged and figured out and know what direction teams are going to go and which way the season's going to go, it turns like it did. I was surprised to see Buffalo have as commanding a win as they did in Arrowhead. I got to be honest with you. Watching that game, I was surprised.
Yeah, I was too. And I think you make a great point. I love the overreaction, though, about the quarterbacks. That's
yes.
So, and I'm not saying that Justin Herbert can't grow to be as equal or better, but I think right now the fact that he is, you know, if you acknowledge the decline in talent in Kansas City, you have to acknowledge that he's playing with lesser talent, right? And you know, I think it's amazing how quickly we rush to judgments. And that's great to hear that even scouts, you know, guys that are trained to have an unbiased eye.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're right. And maybe we're going to look back and be like, wow, hey, we love Patrick Mahomes, but he's the fourth best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe that's going to happen. You know, I mean, and I'll look back and I'll remember this conversation and say those scouts are pretty sharp guys that Kevin Harlan was talking to. Or we'll see him get hot against lesser teams, blow up some huge numbers. Maybe the team finds itself defensively, goes on a run, and then everybody's talking about how he's.
I still ride with him. I'm still picking. Yeah. If they ask me, I pick Mahomes. I pick Mahomes. I think that, you know, Herbert right now is, I mean, he's playing very, very well. And he's got the size. He sticks in the pocket, but he can run. And then you see Lamar Jackson, what he did on Monday night. That is a special guy. He's special in a different way than Patrick. You know, I don't know that he's got the arm, although his arm is, I think, continually surprising people the way he goes downfield. What he did the other night on Monday night, Saran, I think you'd agree, was historic. I mean, the numbers,
yep,
bringing his team out of the fire. They've won four in a row. He looks better every time I see him play. I mean, we're seeing some Kyler, you know, Murray and Herbert and Allen and Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. I mean, these young quarterbacks, they don't blink. They just go ahead and they're all different in some way. You know, they're all built differently. They throw differently. They think of the game differently and their escape hatch is different. Are we not in for an entertaining next 10, 12 yes. years watching these quarterbacks? We all thought, well, you know, Brady's almost gone. Manning is gone. Roethlisberger probably is finished after this year. Rodgers is on the clock. You know, who are going to be the next great quarterback? They're with us. They're here. Yeah. They've unveiled themselves. They've appeared to us. They're in front of us right now. It's fun to see.
We're talking to the great Kevin Harlan here on the program from CBS, TNT, Westwood One. He'll have the call of the Jags and Dolphins in London. Time for our final four, Kevin, brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of your Kansas City Chiefs. If you have an urgent sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System has a Saturday morning walk-in clinic at 435 in Nall. You can learn more by going to kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Kevin, I will start you with this. The Beatles or the Rolling Stones? Who was better?
Beatles.
Boy, no hesitation.
Yeah, there's a new documentary, by the way, coming out, I think, on the last recording session of the Beatles. And I think the last time they played collectively together was on a rooftop in London. And I saw this the other day, and some famous documentarian has come out with this. Like, everyone has said, oh, yeah, that's the guy to do it. And they've got, like, unseen footage. And they've got some really behind the scenes things that people are going to find fascinating. But I have always been a Beatles guy.
Okay. Do you like fish and chips?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of vinegar. I mean, bring it by the trough. Give me the vinegar. The malt.
Very good. No wonder you're so spicy, Kevin.
But yes, I like it. I like it.
Passion for the vinegar. Okay. All right. We'll take a scale of 1 to 10 here on a couple of things. How on a scale of 1 to 10, how has been overcoming the language barrier when you travel there to London?
I did have a person that picked me up this morning from Pakistan. He was a little bit hard to, but he'd been here for, he told me I've been here 45. He didn't say this clearly. I've been here 45 years and I came here because my wife and I had our honeymoon here.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And he was
left.
There are some cities that are international cities. There is no more international city than London. And all you have to do is walk through Heathrow, as I did this morning upon landing. And the different voices you hear and languages is just I get jacked by that stuff. I thrive on that.
Oh, I do too. I think it's great.
It's so cool. Yeah.
And I asked the question, obviously somewhat tongue in cheek, but also because there are a lot of British movies that I love, like the movie Snatched.
Yeah.
Remember that had Brad Pitt in it. I love the movie, but But when I saw it, Curtis and I actually saw it together, and we left going, that was hysterical. I can't wait to watch it three or four more times. To try to figure out what the hell they were really
saying. Well, just put the subtitles in there. Don't you do that? Don't you just put the – don't well, my wife
saw it in the theater. We saw
Okay. I got you.
There were no subtitles. But now, now you can rewind, play it again, rewind, play it again. Or like you said, put the subtitles on.
Yeah, we do that like with Downton Abbey or like with other British movies we'll watch. But we've done that before.
And, Very good. Yeah, okay. All right. And then finally, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you grade your and my coming together as really technical savants? What would you say we are on a scale?
Well, you know – clearly, when the good Lord made me, he took out a couple components in my brain, like the ones that can figure this kind of stuff out, right? He said, oh, I will give you this, but I'm going to take away this, this, and this. Well, unfortunately, I needed this, this, and this when we were hooking this thing up from London. So I'm looking to the heavens right now, and I'm saying, you did take those three things away from me because I couldn't figure out what the heck
Listen,
I was doing.
You ultimately made this happen, and people saw the fun that went into us putting this together. What they didn't get to see, though, is me just going, are you there? You want me to call you? That's what I added to the equation. So I want to point out, you got literally no help from me in making this conversation happen. And it still happened. So that's a tribute to you, Kevin.
I will tell you, with the world opening up again, and I know a lot of people have not traveled. People haven't seen members of their family domestically. But London is, if there ever is an international trip on your dream list and you do take it, this is about as great a city. Literally, I'm looking out my window. Big Ben is in the distance, but I can see Big Ben. And we drove by Hyde Park, and this morning we went right by Buckingham Palace. And there's just so much history here. You know, we think in the States about our history. I mean, like it's 200 years old. Here, it's like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old when you see some of anything, not those particular, but there are things here in this city that are like that. And this is one of the great, great cities in the world. And it's an honor to be here representing the league and CBS and to visit with you this afternoon, early evening on WHB about this great time. The Chiefs have been to London. Haven't the Chiefs played in London before?
Their last time was when they fell to 1-5 in 2015, and they had the Lions, and that started their 10-game win streak.
That's exactly right. That's a good. Thank you for reminding me of that. Yeah, but it's great to be here, and then the NBA season opens up Tuesday, so I'm flying from London on Monday to L.A. and Lakers and Warriors on Tuesday, then fly to San Francisco and do Warriors and Clippers on Thursday. And I was trying to get back for the Monday night game in Nashville, but one of the airlines that could get me there early enough, they've belted out all their late night flights. They don't have many more back to the States, so I'm going to have to miss on Monday. But anyway, it's an exciting time to be here, and I'm glad we've had a chance to kind of share a cup of tea, tea.
Absolutely. The pleasure was all ours.
Yes.
And certainly, Kevin, we wish you a lot of fun on that London to L.A. John.
Tally ho!
Yes. Kevin, you're the best. Enjoy London. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, sir, and always enjoy it. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Bills have scored at least 35 points in four straight games. How many teams since the merger have had a longer streak? Just two. The 2000 Rams and the 2013 Broncos both did it six times in a row.
By the way, those were two of the most prestigious offensive teams ever. 2000 Rams were Kurt Warner's Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And Trent Green.
Yep.
Kurt Warner went down in that season, but that was in the midst of the greatest show on turf. And then the 13 Broncos were Peyton Manning's record-setting 5,555 touchdowns, right?
Yep. Yep, Rams came here to KC and put up 34, but the Chiefs put up 54 that day and took them out.
Yeah, that was a big, big day. By the way, that was my second mortal lock ever, Chiefs and the points. Chiefs were getting six in that game and won by 20. So good stuff playing for a little
Joe's
Kansas City Barbecue. Got a football weekend, whether it's a spread at your house or taking it out to the tailgate, joeskc.com, pulled pork, brisket, the turkey, the ham, everything, the burnt ends, unbelievable spread you can put together for your tailgate. It's at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. It's what we do on game day at my house. Go to joeskc.com. Leave you with this for the kicker. Wendell Carter. Think about that name. Most people out there don't even know who Wendell Carter is. 4 years, $50 million. He signed an extension with the Orlando Magic. That's not really that big a money for the NBA. There are guys making upwards of $50 million very soon. I think they're in the upper 48, $49 million range for guys that sign max extension contracts now. Maybe I'm even low. Maybe they are past 50. But Wendell Carter's a guy that no one's even heard of, that no one will probably ever hear of. And he just got 4 years, $50 million. There's a couple of bucks to be made in basketball. I just thought that was amazing. I'm like, Wendell Carter, you're kidding me. This is life-altering money. He's not even that good. Maybe we're not either. We'll see you at 2 on Monday.